and lesser-known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could borrow a musical instrument free of charge, just like you can borrow books from your local library? We think so too. That's why the Joe Chitlin Memorial Musical Instrument Lending Library, also known as Joe's Mill, has been lending guitars, keyboards, saxophones, and many other instruments to the Kingston community free of charge for almost 20 years. We are a registered charity, relying solely on the generosity of our community to donate their time, money, and instruments to keep this amazing service alive. Find us at www.joesmill.org or Joe's Mill on Facebook for more information on borrowing instruments or contributing to Joe's Mill.
The Queens Gaels are back in the OUA playoffs. Their journey to the Yates Cup begins on Saturday, October 25th at home against the McMaster Marauders, and the stakes have never been higher. In the playoffs, the margin for error is razor thin. One play can make all the difference between elation,
a touchdown for the Gaels,
and devastation. CFRC's coverage begins at 12:45 with the Rad Club pregame show ahead of the scheduled 1 p.m. kickoff. It's all or nothing, and you can't afford to miss it.
Beats has put it away!
And it is now 2 minutes after 5 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, and I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. Coming up, let's do this. In the first hour, you heard, you know what? You can hear most of these in the second hour anyway. Let's just do that. You can always, I take that back. In case you missed the first hour, you would have heard, let's just do it that way, because there is the blog space that I mentioned. It's saved too, so it's going to be there for 3 years. So if you didn't hear it in the first hour, you can always find it there for the next anytime in the next 3 years. So I will mention too about that blog space. Each segment is just not a time and a date. It is a list of all of whoever it was that appeared in that hour on this show. So it makes it a little easier to search for things. So, and I started it out that way, so it goes all the way back that way. So anyway, in the first hour, you heard from the October 7th and the Journey Continues open mic, the first round, I should say, of the October 7th and the Journey Continues open mic reading at the Elm Cafe. And in it, you heard readings by Malcolm Nolan, Catherine Jones, Sarah Emtage, Heather Lindsay, Laylee Jamali, Michael Flaho, Bruce Cudmore, Fiona McMillan, Olivia Parent, Ken Chin, Vicky Yonjali, Carolyn Kingians, Meg Freer, Yael Rusonic, Marinus Sorensen, Jen Gregory, Allison Wong, Brent Raycroft, Leo Roberts, and me. And then coming up in this hour from the second round in that same open mic event, you will hear readings by Malcolm Nolan, Sarah Emtage, Laylee Jamali, Michael Flaho, Bruce Cudmore, Fiona McMillan, Ken Chin, Vicky Yonjali, Carolyn Kingians, Meg Freer, Marina Sorensen, Allison Wong, Brent Raycroft, Marika, and then me. And I just, my usual first mention at the start of each hour or each segment of the show is to let you know that occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on the show may contain strong language, but I do try to preserve it as much as I can, possibly can, to maintain the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. Brief mention, in case you don't know how a reading in the round like this series works. Basically, when people come, there's a sign-up sheet at the door. Each poet will sign up who wants to read, and when called up, they read one poem until we go through the list. After a short break, a second round begins, and so you heard the first round here in the first hour. Now we're going to hear the second round. Second round is a rule, is a bit shorter than the first round. So I do will have some time in this hour again to share a few local events and maybe some calls for submissions as well. When I do call those up, to read also, each poet reads one poem and then they sit back down and then I introduce the next poet. So I'll go through the list of those who read again in the second round now, but just so you know, I will also, you'll hear me introduce in the recording each poet as they come up again. So just the first name in the second round, that's usually what I do though. So you might want to pay attention to the names right now, the full names. You are going to hear again from that October 7th and the Journey Continues open mic readings by in the second round. I don't know if I said that. I probably have said it way too much. You're going to hear readings by Malcolm Nolan, Sarah Emtage, Layli Jamali, Michael Flaho, Bruce Cudmore, Fiona McMillan, Ken Chin, Vicky Yonjali, Carolyn Kenyons, Meg Freer, Marinus Sorensen, Allison Wong, Brent Raycroft, Marika, and then me. Let's go ahead and just jump right into it. How's that? Here we go. Welcome back, everyone. We had such a wonderful first round. We're going to move into the second round, and let's again thank all of you for coming out. It is all of you that make this the wonderful and beautiful reading series that it is. So thank you all very much. Up first, let's bring up Malcolm again.
Okay, this one, it's called Beauty at the Bottom of the Barrel. Poetry is what happens when the voices won't shut up and you're too poor for therapy and too proud for prayer. It's top shelf for the bottom of the barrel. Distilled despair, aged in silence. Served warm and bitter. You write it because if you don't, you'll scream at the grocery store. You'll cry at red lights. You'll punch mirrors just to feel symmetrical. No one reads it. Not now. Not yet. Not until you're dead. And your bones are vintage. Then the critics come sniffing around your corpse like dogs at a barbecue. But it's not for them. Never was. It's for the small hours when your skull is a pinball machine, when your thoughts bounce off bone and memory like stray bullets in a basement bar. And you're the bartender, sweeping up broken glass, hoping no one notices the bleeding. You write to get the poison out, to drain the abscess, to dump the black ink before it spills into your dreams. Art is the act of turning pain into beauty. You keep telling yourself that. You write to breathe, to sleep, to stop checking under your bed for yourself. You write so you can let it go. So let it go.
As we bring up Sarah, let's give Malcolm another hand.
This is a poem called Octopus City. The octopi occupy subaquatic citadels and ring their underwater bells from towers in the deep. And I can hear them as I sleep. In a dream, I wander out and see the sea as black as ink. I shiver and grin at the moon on its skin, then dive in and sink and sink and sink. I open my eyes and blink in surprise. The city below is aglow in the dark of the depths. There are dangers dwelling in the deep, but as I dive down in my sleep, I am kept safe from all possible harms by strong and squishy octopus arms.
Thank you.
So give Sarah another hand. Let's bring up Laylee.
Called Life, and it is written after a loss. Life. How would you feel when life goes on and you are not a part of it anymore? I mean, when you are dead and forever gone due to a silly accident or because of losing the battle to the terminal beast. Or just letting the last precious pulse stop in the bloody layers of that once beating heart. Or simply fail to hold on to that one faint golden breath that chooses to leave you and come back no more for whatever reason that seems to be none of your business. Would it hurt to see people going on without you, alive, breathing upon their feet, talking freely about the way you just left? Some truly sad, crying hard with shaking shoulders, some shedding silent tears, sniffing their sticky sorrows up into their throbbing heads, others indifferent. Only pretending to be involved in an agony which is not theirs. Even so bold to be touching the stuff that once belonged to you, intrusively eyeing the letters you diligently hid in some secret corner under your bed, opening the closet from which you chose the last shirt to wear. Staring viciously at the pair of shoes drifted apart in the long and narrow corridor, just as you left them this morning after stumbling over to grab the keys. Of course they would. They have all the right to do so. After all, they're still alive, and you were the one being dead, ironically existing somewhere else. Outside the circle of this life, this wonderful, beautiful, and magnificent life, which will literally go on and on, forever and ever without you, and someday not so far without them, who live this moment to care or not to care, that you were dead and done, that you live no more, no more. Thank you.
As we give Laylee another hand, let's bring up Michael.
So about 15 years ago, I lost most of my hearing, and it was replaced by my wonderful brain with noise, all sorts of noise. So I can't hear much of the outside world, and at the same time, I have a lot of noise being played in my head. So this is basically a poem about that. My world is hushed and deaf, though through it still a roaring howls against my will. No bird, no wind, no sudden tone. This endless shrieking is my own. A hissing roar, a splitting seam, it stalks every hour. That's not a dream. Sharp chirps cut in like shards of glass. High wires sing and will not pass. Sometimes it whispers, sly, unseen, as though a ghost crept in between. Sometimes cicadas crowd the air, a summer field that isn't there. At times the world feels cut in two, one faint, out there, the seeming true. And I drift between, not there, not here, half lost in this, half trapped out there. I strain for your voice, lost, unclear. The notes of music disappear. Once strings were guided by my bows. By my bow, now a murmur plays the song I know. I miss the hush of drifting snow, the velvet calm I used to know, the falling snow, the softened ground, a silence deeper never found. But there, a flock of birds takes flight, their chatter somewhere out of sight. An empty tree begins to sing, though silence should be winter's wing. But mercy comes when sleep unfolds, the neural chorus has no holds. In sleep, the roaring is not there, an absent weight, a vacant care. Yet dawn restores the blanket din, a cage of thunder forged within. No ear would choose, no will defends this storm that plays until all ends.
As we bring up Bruce, let's give Michael another hand.
Hello again. I'm going to try out a new one. It's going to change a lot still, but this one's based on or inspired by a Greek myth, which I learned about on Google, about Selene, the goddess of the moon, and Endymion, who was a mortal farmer who she fell in love with. She asked Zeus to give him eternal youth so they could be together forever. Instead, he gave him eternal sleep. So a little cruel. They still managed to have children. But here is the poem. It's called Medallion. The sharp circle of the moon is a succinctly spoken myth. Brighter for the pastels of passing day and the thick shades of night. And I map new continents and oceans, a selenography of love and longing. Riding the waves of an ebbing tide, my eyelids blink slowly, and at every diminishing crest, I see Selene's Argentine medallion hung around Endymion's earthy, familiar neck before I fall asleep. After 2 weeks, I awake reborn in the early morning, just before sunrise, just before new moon, and I see Selene's horns as she rises with Venus, who makes a point to bless her and her 50 festive daughters. In the context of moonlight, storylines are subtle and fluid. Themes are measured by day, week, month, and year. I want the whole and the particular, the terroir and the grape, the triangulated and the reflected truth. The tyrant mind flees, while the creative mind finds new agency and sleep. Endymion's eternal sleep is an active, fertile dreaming, a passionate performance, an Olympiad.
As we bring up Fiona, let's give Bruce another hand.
This one's a bit long. That's why I saved it for second. But it's still in the process, but I think there's something there. So, yes. Doesn't have a title yet, but yeah, okay. I've heard a lot of people discuss the intricacies of a slow burn. That feeling of unsettlement as you teeter between believing someone can't be without you or can't stand to be in the same room. The never-ending curl of unrest as you dissect the text message semantics, arguing over the importance of tone to your future bridesmaids. The hours that can pass with ease as you discuss if he is the one, if he wants you, if he was even listening while you were talking, and what kind of father he will make one day, and also if it should be one to your own genetic code. What colors your children's eyes would be based on his X chromosomes and how you suspect he speaks to his mother on holidays. If he helps with the dishes, if he has Reddit downloaded on his phone or only accesses it through a browser, what kind of porn he watches, how much of it, and how concerning that is, and if you are morally allowed to judge him and when you can ask him to stop. If you asked him to stop, how he would respond, if he has a 401k, and if coffee means commitment the same way that dinner does. I've played this game before, more times than I would like to admit, and I've watched the smartest woman I know nearly bang their heads against plaster walls while listening to themselves speak. I've been both the woman and the wall. I've been every piece of furniture in this godforsaken room, and through decades of suffering and conversing and crying and throwing it all to the wind, I have only learned one thing. If they wanted to be with you, they would be there. I think it's very easy as people, bonus points if you're the kind with flaps, to get obsessed with the justification of one's actions. All the reasons someone did or did not say the things you wanted to hear, all the mini emergencies that could justify your ritual of being 13 minutes late, and all the times you forgot to pick up your phone as well. We like to villainize and humanize in the same breath, bringing people down to our level no matter how much they deserve that grace. It's an instinct I'm not sure if I should love or despise, but no matter what attitude I take to it, it prevails. I can't hate it the same way I could never hate you, but I think it's time to slip away from this court of faulty arguments and look at the facts. If they wanted to be with you, they would be there. They would be there. They'd be at dinner. They'd be at your shitty poetry readings. They would be in the canned goods aisle. They'd be at your birthdays and at your art house movie screenings. They'd be at the subway and at breakfast. They'd be under the same tree in your favorite bookstore, in the line as you wait for your monthly dosage of antipsychotics. They would be there. They would be there and here and everywhere, and you would never have to look for them for longer than 11 minutes in a crowd. I invite you now to look around and ask one simple question. Are they here? It doesn't have to be in the physical. No, that explanation would be far too primary. We don't only exist in the tangible realm. In the age of connection and digital communication, there are dozens of ways to make your presence noticed. So I raise you the same inquiry with that fact in mind. Are they here? Are they looking at you in amazement as you write papers for pleasure between your papers for a diploma? Are they there when you throw your head back in a laugh so hard your neck nearly snaps? Are they there when you decide between gold bracelets and complimenting the barista over your chai? Are they there when you want them to be, and more importantly, even when you don't? When you don't look beautiful and when your leg hairs are ingrown, when you have muttered a phrase unkind and given up on laundry, when you haven't painted anything good in months, and when you haven't felt like yourself in even longer, are they around? In the next room over will do, but are they in a reachable proximity to you? Have they left a note, explained that they'll be right back? Have they communicated their upsets and stayed around to hear yours? Have they made their presence known? I have a feeling I know the answer to this one, but I'm not a psychic. I'm just a woman. I invite you to play the Are They There game often and with haste, and not hide behind your answers no matter how tempting it may feel. The right person is going to be able to see you doing it. Thank you.
As we bring up Ken Chin, let's give Fiona another hand.
I'm sure we've all been in traffic accidents, but has anybody ever helped the people in the traffic accident? No. I did. This is one of them. Living near Johnston and Sydenham, you see a lot of traffic accidents. This is one of them. The Good Samaritan. I didn't understand what she said as I pulled her out of her mangled compact car. I asked the Chinese lady if she was all right. She nodded, holding her glasses broken in the accident. I checked the other vehicle, a van driven by an elderly woman, shaken but seemed uninjured. I told her to remain in the van while I get help. By then, the retired nurses living across the street came out and asked if they should call an ambulance. I turned back and opened the van door to find it filling with smoke. I yelled, "You gotta get out." I began helping the woman out. She fell back on the seat in pain. Her leg had been injured in the crash. I got her arm over my shoulder and pulled her out, at the same time screaming, "Get an ambulance!" The paramedics came and took the woman to the hospital. A few minutes later, the fire department arrived. I informed the firefighters that the van driver had already gone to the hospital, then stood back as they attended to the smoking van. The police eventually came and took charge of the situation. I was about to go inside my house when a firefighter came up to me, saying, "You're not the driver of the van, are you?" I said, "No," as I looked past him to the Chinese lady who was talking to the police officer and pointing straight at me. Then I remember what she said to me as I pulled her out of a car. "You drive too fast." "Well, why not?" She was on Sydenham crossing Johnson, and failing to see a van approaching, she got T-boned. Her only defense would be that it was speeding. And here, a long-haired guy in there. Except that I wasn't the driver. Thank you.
As we bring up Vicky, let's give Ken another hand.
This is for all of you, and you. The Elm Cafe. Get real. Be authentic. Love yourself. Express your feelings. Don't dim your light. Be natural. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Say what? You got a manual for that? No manual necessary. Just head down to the Elm Cafe and hang out with a bunch of strange strangers who call themselves poets, who say what they mean and mean what they say, who are as real as an orange peel, natural as a spatula, wizards of words and lovers of their truths, unapologetically frank as a tank, and kind. So very, very kind. Authentically radiant in their expression of the real, who deal in the timeless now.
So we bring up Carolyn. Let's give Vicky another hand.
This poem is from my new book, Lost in the Bardo. It's coming out in January. This is called Time Bomb. Sometimes complicated emotions, too heavy to bear, require suspension, not in a mid-air dangling kind of way like ribboned mistletoe suspended over a lone threshold, or a golf course green-colored pinata in the shape of an angry T-Rex suspended over the heads of small children at the birthday party, but rather a suspension of reality, some faraway metaphysical place where the wild things are, and the emotional baggage I refuse to feel right now. You know, painful things, like my estranged mother's suicide, whom I loved from afar, where it felt safe, and a nagging dread that history may repeat itself, as only dysfunction can. So I hit an invisible pause button on life, on CPAP machines in separate bedrooms, on a daughter whom I can't reach no matter how hard I try, on our mid-century modern home, where the floors are made entirely of delicate eggshells. But in this suspension, this pause, I am free to binge-watch YouTube videos under cute animal channel names like Geobeats and Cuddle Buddies, becoming a much-needed comfort in the tumult, like the one about the lonely black-and-white yak named Marge, and the lonely black and white cow named Maxine that soon become fast friends under the swath of a bright pink and orange sky, living out the rest of their days together on a humane ranch in the middle of Montana. Or the video about the quirky purple-haired retiree named Pauline who rescues a baby squirrel she names Ernest that falls from its nest, landing serendipitously in the sanctuary of her backyard. Pauline ends up remodeling half her home to accommodate the ongoing gymnastics of an indoor pet squirrel, perhaps filling some kind of maternal void. It's amazing what I can keep at bay while suspended in this jelly-like grief. For one, an ocean of emotion resides just outside myself, wanting full entry the way water demands, by way of a slow, steady seep into the depths of my cracked psyche boat as I stay afloat for now with the help of nonstop amusement and Starbucks. Yesterday, my daughter called me Karen, and right now there's a massive beehive suspended under my roof's eave in the shape of a furious ticking time bomb about to fall and scatter, changing everything for good. Thank you.
So we bring up Meg. Let's give Carolyn another hand.
If you're a skier, you might know that cold smoke is a term for dry, fluffy powder snow. It's common in the Rocky Mountains. My poem's called Cold Smoke. Mountain streams find the simplest paths down the slope. No fear, no effort, no skier's focused stare to analyze angles and obstacles. We barrel through personal and public ordeals like skiers with blinders on, let our minds decelerate instincts and deceive with errors our hearts wouldn't make. Beware the zone where lies offer comfort, a single right answer. Even streams may disagree and create more than one good trail. Draw your own line in the cold smoke. I'll draw mine. We all have gaps to close.
So we bring up Marinus. Let's give Meg another hand.
I just wrote this one yesterday. I haven't given it a title. I suppose the first line is as good as any. Yes, I'll try. Thank you. In a time of dying, the task is to die well. There is no part of giving up that belongs to this work. In our time of dying, we're given to loving. All building up of wealth, all fame and possessions are as dust without the water of life to make it bloom. Our bodies, made of dust, return again to dust. Only love remains to show we were here. Where love is absent, there is no remainder. Where love is excluded, nothing is left.
Give Marinus another hand. Let's go ahead and bring up, welcome Allison Wong again. And
justice for cockroaches. Floor crawlers, wall walkers, ceiling faller, cannon fodder. Don't you think it's time we just let them be a bit of bother? Weed grower, skin picker, hole digger, leaf eater. Something's got to happen here. Something's got to happen to the rot that you lot keep leaving here. People leaving, tissues ripping, shoe soles dragging, vicious, vicious. Don't you know cockroaches can get splinters too? Cloth eater, breadcrumb stealer, spaghetti sticker, icing liquor. I know not what it feels to be full either. Won't you forgive us, drywall climbers, flower rotters? How unfair of me to fear the cockroaches, kindred as we are. How unfair of you to me, for I, the cockroaches, didn't mean to make ourselves at home in the walls. But alas, in dark corners I am at home. Lurkers must lurk to live, after all. We are, aren't we all, scavengers reversed, so gentle, please. Six legs a monster do not make. More ways to catch a fallen crumb.
As we bring up Brent, let's give Ellison another hand.
Thank you, Bruce. Am I the last?
No.
Okay, good. Because I don't want to end on a downer, but I've been writing, because I can't really help it, I've been writing political poems. I'm not going to read two. I'm just going to read one. Untitled. I wish I was reading a beautiful poem. The uprising triumphed. The siege was broken. But Hannibal spoke. I wish I was reading a beautiful poem. But I've seen the x-rays of skulls clearly showing where bullets from Canada go. I wish I was reading a beautiful poem. Rafat Dallaire is alive and his family at home. But Hannibal spoke.
As we give Brent another hand, let's bring up a Marika.
This one's called Road Body. Greyhound bounces me on its knee, and the city slithers out on its belly to meet me in the east, sticky all the way in. Traffic creeps through channels like molasses, but I'm pushing through. Cobwebs. In times of transit, I think of two places, the ones I'm necessarily between, and ponder the way they move in my absence. One single stone wrenched free from the bottom of the stream, or maybe a twig unstuck from the dam, lessening its overall hold against the gentle thrum, hum, drowned out drumbeat of the current against wood. My body is heavy, sick with travel, enamored with sleep, hours and miles ahead and behind, but rustling through the city, clouds collect above the thick, chewy knot of dealing, preparing to scrub its scalp and let the filth drip down, down. And I love it. The heaviness, the weariness of leaving, of witnessing the pattern of city to country to city again like something beaded, something whose beauty rewards scrutiny. Thrilled by the unknown and thrilled by thinking you might actually know it because of some special knowledge that you alone possess. And I love hearing the rush of it everywhere all around me, tumbling on and on every contraction of muscle across North America's broad back, whose spine I trace over and over again with my fingertips, whose harsh flesh I prod with those same fingertips for the pleasure of feeling a strong thing give, for the pleasure of imagining my body as a strong thing, and for the pleasure of feeling a strong thing give.
And let's give Marika another hand. Now, we've had someone come in. Did you want to read tonight, too, or did you just here to listen?
I don't have anything right now.
Okay. Is there anyone else I left out? Well, let's give yourselves and everybody else a wonderful hand. And another one for Anthea, and then I'm going to read a final poem to take us out of here. Again, thank you all for coming out. This is called Recurring Dream. This recurring dream, An absolute stranger will come up to me from behind, will tap me on the shoulder, and as I turn around, will ask me to write them a poem. They ask that the poem be about them, of which I know nothing, be about our experiences together, of which there are none. And they ask as well that I include a small stanza about a ghost. I nod my head as they walk away, unsure of what to write, but still I reach for my journal, my pen. I write for over an hour, complete the poem, 4 full pages, trying my very best to include all they'd asked. I find them again a short time later in a crowd, come up from behind, tap them on the shoulder, and when they turn around, I hand that 4-page poem to them. They take those 4 blank pages, spend many minutes examining each page. I tell them then as they turn back to me that I wrote it with one of my pens that has invisible ink. Tears well in their eyes as they look at me. And they say then, this was the most beautiful poem that they'd ever read.
And you just heard from, again, that October 7th and the Journey Continues open mic reading. And in the second round that evening, you heard readings by Malcolm Nolan, Sarah Emtage, Layli Jamali, Michael Flaho, Bruce Cudmore, Fiona McMillan, Ken Chin, Vicky Yonjali, Carolyn Kenyons, Meg Freer, Marina Sorensen, Allison Wong, Brent Raycroft, Marika, and then me. It is now, I just turned 42 minutes after 5 o'clock. I'll tell you what, I have 3 of these that I need to air, so let's do this, and I'll be right back. How's that?
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Partners in Mission Food Bank could not exist without the loyalty, dedication, and support of volunteers, some of whom have been with us for over 30 years. Our team of volunteers consists of individuals who continually devote both their time and skills on a regular basis in an effort to make a positive impact on hunger and the food needs of the community. Volunteering has no age limits. Your commitment and energy is enough. It is a great way to make new friends and contribute to your community. Partners in Mission Food Bank volunteers provide essential services in many ways, including assembling daily hampers, sorting food donations, breaking down and portioning bulk items, packing eggs into cartons, keeping the warehouse safe and clean, and providing helpful input to other volunteers and staff. Interested in volunteering with Partners in Mission Food Bank? Please call our volunteer coordinator at 613-544-4100.
Looking for a ride? Download the Modern City Taxi app to your mobile device and get to your destination quickly and safely while supporting a proudly Canadian local business, keeping your money in the community. Download the app now and get extra benefits like free advanced booking, the ability to add your credit card and pay on the go, enjoying the freedom from price surging during high demand times. You can also call for a cab at 613-546-2222 anytime of day or night for comfortable and speedy transportation. Serving Kingston since 1939, Modern Taxi proudly supports local radio and the Queens community. It is your number one service for fast local transportation. Learn more at moderncitytaxi.ca.
And you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. And there's still a good portion of this show left. I've got several minutes at least to share some upcoming events, and may get to a few calls. But first thing I'd like to do is thank you very much for having tuned in to the show today. I would also like to thank all those who participated in the open mic event that evening, and to, again, our barista, Anthea, who took great care of us, and, of course, to the Elm Cafe for always being such a caring and supportive host. Just a quick reminder before I move on, something I do at the end of the hour or segment is just to let everybody know again that every week I upload both hours of this show to my personal blog space for it shortly after I get home at Finding a Voice on CFRCFM.wordpress.com. They do remain there for 4 years. And before I get into that list of calls and events, I probably should do a bit of a more proper close, is just to mention you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Again, we are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6, and we do stream live online at www.cfrc.ca. Right now it's about 46 and a half minutes after 5 o'clock. And besides the calls and events, I'm going to also include a song to take us out of here today. So, again, I hope you can stay tuned for all of this. And I think I said it, but in case I didn't say it, I do upload both hours of this show to my blog space. Now that I'm saying it, I already said it, so you know it. But here it is, Finding a Voice at CFRCFM.wordpress.com. That's where it'll be. And so let's go ahead and go into find a few events here. The open mic that you just heard, the next segment of that, the November segment, is coming up. So it is... Got some events before that, though. Let's go ahead and just try to go in chronological order here. Coming up Monday evening, there's going to be a book launch at Novel Idea. Maggie Helwig with Encampment, Resistance, Grace, and an Unhoused Community is the title of the book. It says Maggie Helwig is also this year's winner of the Toronto Book Award, and that she will be discussing and launching that book that evening. Find Novel Ideas, Novel Idea Bookstore's Facebook group page, and you will find the event listed there. Also coming up this week, Word Labs. It's a wonderful venue for writing classes, workshops, and more. They've got this is a four-part series. I don't know if you can enter it still, but if so, it's trauma-informed journaling with Kersey Marie. It is a four-part seminar. The remaining is from 6 to 7:30. The next date in it is October 28th. I would suggest that you try to contact Word Labs and find out if you'd still be able to do that. It is www.wordlabs.ca, and that's where their homepage is, so their contact would be on that page too, and there might be more information. There is also a... peer writing group that meets biweekly, and the next of those is coming up on Wednesday, October 29th, and that's anybody can come to those. Wednesday, October 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. And also starting next week, November 1st, you can go to that website again, www.wordlabs.ca. They've got a nano writing book camp, both email and Zoom, and that will be happening from November, the full month of November. So check it all out there. Also, another book launch coming up next week on Wednesday, October 29th, 7 p.m. Carl Fagan with Fast Horse Never. And Never Brings Good News, and Miranda Schreiber with Iris and the Dead. It's a double book launch, again, Novel Idea Bookstore, Wednesday, October 29th, 7 p.m. Again, go to their Facebook group page. And Novel Idea, I think everybody knows where it is, but in case you don't, right on the corner of Bagot and Princess, or beside Shoppers Drug Mart, or across the street, 156 Princess Street. Also coming up is, where's this one? Another book launch at Novel Idea. This one's coming up Thursday, October 30th. So it's a week of book launches. It's called The Ontario Cottage, Perfect of Its Kind. It's Lynn D. Stefano will be launching and discussing it. A book of detailed prose, architectural illustrations, and it says stunning photographs. Again, Novel Idea Bookstore. Coming up on October 30th, 7 p.m. So, again, go to their Facebook group page and you'll find all of the information. Also coming up on November 2nd, so a week from Sunday, Marilyn Simons and Wayne Grady will be reading at the quite new now the Bookshop Annex in Tamworth. Marilyn will be reading from her new book, Walking with Beth. I'm sure there'll be some discussion. Everyone is welcome. And the Bookshop's IG page, Instagram page, has a note for it, so you can look there. So also, Queen's Department of English will have a reading and a talk. Uzma Jalaluddin, who will receive the degree of Doctor of Laws, honors costs from Queen's University on November 3rd, is a high school teacher, former Toronto Star columnist, and internationally acclaimed author of four novels and co-authored novel and a play. Again, I got that from Queen's Creative. I'm sure I got that from Queen's Creative English Facebook page, but might have been another source. Anyway, it's going to be happening in room 517 Watson Hall this coming Monday, November 3rd from 2 to, or not this coming Monday, a week from Monday, November 3rd, 2 to 3 p.m. And then coming up a week, or coming up on November 6th, again, we're the first Tuesday of the month. That is the first Tuesday of the month. So it's going to be the next monthly reading in that reading series that you heard the October event from today. So that happens again at the Elm Cafe, 303 Montreal Street. And doors open at 6:30. Event runs from, that's Tuesday, November 4th, from 7 to 9:15 p.m. Also, there's one in Madoc, a first Tuesday night of the month reading called the First Tuesday Muse. They do have a Facebook group page for it, and you can find all their information there. So I'd really encourage you to do that. Again, thank you so much for tuning in to the show today. Do stay tuned for 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music, hosted by Rob Carnell. Again, thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a great week. To take us there, I'm going to play a CD that was gifted me many years ago at this point by a Canadian artist, Tara McLean, this is off of her first studio album back in 19... Yeah, 1996. She has produced 7 albums and also 5 solo studio albums, I believe, and then 2 with her, 2 full-length albums with her group. Her latest one was a solo one called Sparrow, came out in 2023. And you know what? With that, I'm going to go ahead and just let it roll. Again, have a great week. I hope you enjoy this.
Cause I